This message is called The Hard Work of the Gospel. The Hard Work of the Gospel. Let me say from the beginning, we're not saved by our hard work. We're saved by Jesus' hard work on the cross. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, by grace you have been saved. Through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It's not your own doing. Even your faith is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. And we quote that verse, those two verses, rightly so. And we rejoice that we are saved by grace, not by our works. But then we keep reading in the very next verse, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that He has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So Paul is making it clear to the Ephesians, we're not saved by our works, we're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus. Amen. But then we are saved for good works. God sends us out to do good works that He has prepared in advance for us to do. And I want us to see as we look at Paul's example this morning, that you and I are called to put our faith in Jesus and continue in the faith, and that will lead us into a life of ministry and service and hard work in the cause of Christ. God has some hard work for you to do in His kingdom for His glory. This is a pastor's heart that Paul is sharing this morning. Let's read our text together. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 23. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. You see, the gospel's going out in all the world. And of which I, Paul, became a minister. That word is diakonos in Greek. It means servant. Paul said, of the gospel, I became a minister. And he says in verse 24, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. Hear the word of God this morning, church. Paul says, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister. There it is again. First he said he's a minister of the gospel. Now he's a minister of the church. A steward, a servant, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim. Real quick, who's that Him referring to? Jesus. That's the last one noun that we referred to. So this pronoun is looking back to Jesus. Jesus we proclaim. What's our message all about? Him. Him we proclaim. Warning everyone. So sometimes the preacher has to warn us. And teaching everyone. So there's warnings and there's teachings. In all wisdom, to what end? Why is the preacher up here warning and teaching everybody about Christ? That we may present everyone mature in Christ. That word mature can be complete or perfect in Christ. For this I toil, Paul says. For what? Again, you got to look back. What did he just talk? What was he talking about? For what is Paul working, toiling, laboring, striving? He's working to present everyone mature in Christ. Do you see it? He said that we are proclaiming Jesus, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil. Hear the apostle's heart. This is what captured his life. Here's what he gave his life to do. Here's why he would be shipwrecked 3 times and have his back beaten until it was scarred beyond recognition. Stoned almost to death, left for dead. Here's why he went in danger in the city and in the country and in the water and on the land. You can read his list of sufferings in the scriptures and the epistles. For this I toil. This is what I'm working for, to present the church mature, complete, perfect in Christ. Struggling with all his energy, Jesus' energy, that he powerfully works within me. And in chapter 2, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. The NET translation translates this, for I want you to know how hard I'm working for you. I want you to know how hard I'm working for you. Could you say that to the church this morning? Is there any Christian alive on this planet that you could say that to? I want you to know how hard I'm working for your maturity in Christ. Paul says that to this church. How great a struggle I have for you and for those at the church at Laodicea. And for all who I haven't even ever met. I have those who've never seen me face to face. That their hearts may be encouraged. Being knit together in love. That's a church unified with love. That's what Paul's working for. To reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. Arguments that sound like they sound reasonable, logical, but they're false. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. What a passage. What a text. It's a testimony of Paul and how hard he's working and how he would give his life to suffer. And you know, yeah, he's suffering for Jesus, but here he wants us to know that he's suffering for the church. In my experience as a preacher and just as a Christian, a church member over the years, I get the sense that kind of is growing in our day that a lot of people are okay with suffering for Jesus, but not many want to suffer for the church that Jesus loves. The church that he died to purchase and redeem with his blood. We don't have much time for them. Oh yeah, me and Jesus, we're like this. But his bride, you know, I don't want to inconvenience myself for them. I'll do anything for you, Jesus. And he says, okay, do what I'm doing. I'm building the church. What did Jesus say in Matthew to Peter? I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You say, I want to follow Jesus. What's Jesus doing? He's building his church. And if you're following him, you're building it too. In some way, we all have different gifts. We all have a different part to play. And I hope as I'm raising my voice a little bit this morning, you guys know me. This is how I preach, and I'm not angry. I'm passionate about Jesus and his church because he made me a part of his church by grace. I don't belong in here this morning with you guys. I'm a sinner. But by grace, I have been made a part of the beloved. Amen? Do you feel like me? We don't belong here around the table of the king. We were his enemies. But he came looking for us when we were rebels. And he gave us his life. He gave us his son. He gave us everything. And he's given us riches and glory forever and ever. And now he's left. Jesus went back to heaven. And he's left us with a job to do. And we just don't want to do it. And so I'm going to preach this morning. This is not a guilt trip of you guys need to work harder. Because you can't. Because you're a sinner too, like I am. And that's just heaping the law on you. If I say, you know what, you failed this past week. You need to go out and try harder this week. That's not the gospel. That's every other religion in the world. Do this, do this, work harder. That's works, and you can't work harder. And I can't work harder because I'm a sinner. That's why Jesus came and worked for us and lived the life we can't live and poured out His soul unto death as our sacrifice. But He gives us His Spirit and He gives us His power. Remember Paul said, I'm working with all of His energy that so powerfully works in me. And so I don't want to come down on you with a guilt trip this morning, but I do want to inspire you through God's Word and by His Holy Spirit. As I prepared for this message, I believe the Holy Spirit has a calling and a word for some of us and for all of us as a church, that we would get busy with His mission and His work to build up the church, because that's what He's doing. Amen? So take this in love this morning and know that I'm preaching to myself. First, we're going to look at the gospel worker, Paul, and us. And then we're going to look at the gospel work, and we're going to see how he describes what the work looks like. So as quick as we can, the gospel worker. There in Colossians 1:23, where he told them to continue in the faith, he says, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. That is the message that Jesus died for our sins and rose again and calls us to repent of sin and believe on Him. That is the gospel. Paul says, I know you're hearing some false teachers pulling you away, but I'm wanting you to continue in the faith, not shifting from the hope of the gospel you heard. Now he gives them some new information. This gospel that I want you to hold on to is advancing in the earth. The gospel is advancing in the earth. He said it's been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. And so we learn together this morning that God, His work in the earth, He is sending out His gospel. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And so you would ask me, what is the power of God unto salvation? I want to repent and believe, but I don't have the power to turn from my sins. Preacher, what do I do? And I tell you that the gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation. You need to get yourself and your family under the preaching of the gospel Sunday after Sunday, day after day. Get the gospel in your ears. Read it in the book. Preach it to yourself. And as you hold to the gospel, God will change you through it. The gospel is the power of God. Church, the temptation in our day is to water down the gospel because it's offensive. It tells the world that we're sinners in need of a Savior. That is offensive. The message of the world is, believe in yourself, you can do it. That is not the message of Christianity. The message of Christianity flies in the face of that message and says, don't believe in yourself. You can't do it. Believe on Christ, your Savior, your substitute. And so we as a church will be tempted to water down the message and adopt other programs to fill seats. And the Lord tells us, hold to the gospel. That is the power of God to salvation. God is about the business of advancing the gospel throughout the earth. Jesus told us that in his parables in Matthew 13, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who put leaven, that is dough that has been activated with yeast. She put a little measure of leaven in a giant batch of dough, of flour. And that's all of Jesus' sermon. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who put a small batch of the yeast, the leaven, in a big giant a batch of flour. What's he saying? He's saying that kingdom of God is slowly but surely working its way through the whole big batch. This earth is in opposition to Christ, but his gospel is slowly making headway in the nations. So if that's what God is doing, how does he do it? God could have chosen any method to advance his gospel. But Scripture tells us He has chosen one method, and that is the preaching or proclaiming of the gospel. Notice here in our Scripture in Colossians 1:23, He says, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed, preached in all of creation under heaven. You can also, if you have questions about this, see me afterward. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jews request a sign, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we give them Christ crucified, even though it's a stumbling block to the Jews and Greeks. But to the ones God calls, it's the power and the wisdom of God. So in other words, it's the preaching, and a preaching looks foolish to the world. You guys think I look a little foolish this morning getting up here and, you know, passionately expounding these ancient writings. But this is where the life is. And this is what our church and each one of us has to hold fast to. So the gospel's going out in the nations, and God uses workers. God uses ministers. God uses people who dedicate themselves to pour out their life for the gospel ministry. So now Paul is going to shift after this verse and point to himself. In his day, he says, the gospel was going out in all of creation. And he says, of this gospel, I became a minister. Diakonos, servant. I became a servant. Yeah, he's the lofty, the mighty apostle. And he describes himself as a servant of the gospel. Servant of Jesus and Jesus's message. And then later he calls himself a minister again. In verse 25 we see it. He says, the church of which I became a minister, a servant. Paul doesn't look at apostleship like he's the king of the church. He gets down low and he says, I want to serve you, church. I want to serve the church. In other words, Paul wasn't asking what the church could do for him, but what he could do for the church. You know, he comes to the church not looking for how I can be blessed, but how can I bless someone? Don't come to church with a consumer mindset, with a shopper heart, and you know, looking for problems. You'll find them. Whatever church you go to, you're going to find it like a buzzard looking for something dead to circle around, right? Sometimes we come to churches and if you look for problems, you'll find them. But come with the heart of how can I serve? Not what can I get, but what can I give? Every Sunday is a spiritual potluck. What did you bring to the potluck? What have you come to bless somebody with this morning? Have you prepared? Have you prayed all week for the church? Lord, give me a word of encouragement to share with somebody. Lord, show me who I can pray for when I gather this Sunday. Who can I bless? Maybe there's a need that I can meet. Maybe someone is in financial trouble and I can help them. Lord, help me come and be a servant to the church. That is the attitude Paul gives. And that is the attitude Jesus adopted. He left the glory and worship of heaven to come and be a servant. And he served the church all the way to the cross. And then who are we? Christ served the church. Paul served the church. And we come and expect to be served. We come and expect to be lifted up. And we need that. But that's the total opposite mindset. We come to take up a cross and die with Christ. We come to give ourselves away in love to the thing He loved most above all, which is His bride, the church. And Paul sets himself as an example for us. We've read it. Paul had a unique role to play. You're not going to be Paul, and I'm not going to be Paul. He had a unique role as the apostle to the Gentiles. But we've got our role to play. Paul was chosen for his role. In Ephesians 3, he talks about his calling as an apostle to the Gentiles. And in his story of his conversion in Acts 9, Jesus himself says that he has chosen Paul. I'm going to show you this. Acts 9:15. Jesus says, he, Paul, is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Day one of Paul's salvation experience. He, you know, I just want a word from God. Lord, I just want a word from God. That's what everybody wants, right? Just want to hear from God. And then you hear it. And it's, I'm going to show you how much you must suffer for my name. And you're like, maybe another word from God. Not that one. But Jesus calls us to take up a cross. If you've come to Jesus to be healthy all the time and rich all the time, you've come to the wrong religion. Those who preach that have twisted it. Jesus calls us to take up a cross and die. To come and suffer with Him and reign with Him on the other side. Yes, there's blessings in this life, but we are called to suffer. Paul particularly. And in Galatians 1, Paul said, I persecuted the church of God violently. I tried to destroy it. But when He who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by His grace was pleased to reveal His Son to me in order that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. That's Galatians 1:13-16. Paul said Jesus had set him apart from before he was born to this work of the gospel. And so Paul encourages this Colossian church with his own testimony. You're hearing false teachers, Colossians. They're telling you Jesus is not enough. But I, Paul, I'm telling you He's enough. He's worth living for. He's worth suffering for. He's worth dying for. And through our suffering, through our dying, through our denying ourselves, His name is going to be great in the nations. And as we pour our lives out for the work of the gospel, the church will be built. Paul said in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he said, so death is at work in me, but life is at work in you. What does he mean? He means I'm going around getting the daylights beat out of me every day, and I'm doing it for you, church. Death is at work in me, but life is at work in you. Paul was leaving a wake behind him of life. As he was beaten, imprisoned. I mean, he wrote this letter from prison, for crying out loud, right? As he suffered, there was behind the Apostle Paul a wake of Christians who were blessed by his ministry. What is being left in your wake? What are you leaving behind you in this life? Is there a trail of people who are blessed by your ministry? That is what the Lord would call you up into today. Live in such a way that when you're gone, there are people who have been strengthened in the Lord by your life, by your service, by the work that God does through you. Amen? We waste our lives. And God calls us in messages like today that have unexpected titles, like the hard work of the gospel. God slaps us and says, what in the world are you doing? I didn't save you to waste your life. I didn't save you to just build your DVD collection. Show it off. Look what I got. At the end of your life, right? You stand before the Lord. Had a pretty good collection of movies, Lord. You know, nothing wrong with movies, right? But what are we giving ourselves to? Right? What are we leaving behind? He saved us to serve. He saved us to work. To serve His gospel and to build up His church. We've looked at the worker. Let's look at the work. Paul gave us 7 descriptions of the work. Again, let me say, we are not Paul. We're not the apostle. We're not any apostle. We're believers. Some of you are not pastors or elders, missionaries, deacons. You know, we're just Christians. And yet God has work for us. God has work for you, all who take up the cross and follow Christ. And our gospel labor will demand sacrifices in this life. Sometimes it will lead us into suffering, being laughed at work, when we stand for the Lord and when we share Christ with others. But God has hard work for us to do for His glory. And I would say, even especially, can I say to young people, here, the Lord calls you to a life of hard work in His kingdom. Not a life wasted in self-indulgence and comfort and pleasures. There's blessings along the way. But do something for the Lord. Not to earn salvation. That's free. and grace. But when you see the beauty of the sacrifice made for you, pick up the cross and give the rest of your life and do something for the Lord. Paul tells us, number one, that it is a ministry of suffering and hard work. Look at this selection of verses from our text that we read. Now I rejoice in my sufferings, he said. Then he said, I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. What in the world does that mean? We'll talk about it in a second. Then he said, for this I toil, labor. That means hard, sweaty work, struggling with all his energy. Then he said, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. I want you to know how hard I'm working for you. We're saved by grace for hard work. Guys, some of you work very hard to provide for your families. That is a good and God-honoring thing. Amen. Some of you, your jobs are very demanding and you work hard. Some of you, you work hard for your kids. You work hard for your family. These are good things. But I believe from the scriptures here, we see this morning that our hardest work should be gospel work. The hardest work we do should be for the Lord. And our families come right after that. Our hardest work should be for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said that he's describing his ministry here in words that we may not be, it may not be our first choice to describe the Christian life. He describes the gospel ministry with words like sufferings, afflictions, toil, struggle. There's still work to be done until all of God's people in every generation and in every place come to faith and are brought into the church. There's work left to be done. This is what Paul is hinting at when he says that he is filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Some people have read that verse and they say, does that mean there's something lacking in what Jesus did for us on the cross? Is Paul saying that Jesus' blood is somehow insufficient? And we can quickly say, no way, God forbid. That's not what he's saying. In fact, the whole point of Colossians, the whole letter is about Jesus is enough, right? So Paul's not going to say Jesus is enough the whole letter and then say, well, you know what? Jesus didn't really get this done on the cross, and so I've got to help him out. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that Jesus and Paul have both suffered for the church, but in different ways. Jesus suffered for the church to save us, to redeem us, to make atonement for our sins with his blood. No man can add to that. Amen? You think you're going to add something to your salvation that Jesus somehow couldn't come up with in spotless, perfect righteousness? No way. His salvation is enough from start to finish. It is sufficient. And yet, there is a suffering that remains for the church. Not to redeem us, but to build us. That's what he's saying. There is an amount of suffering that's left for the people of God to go through before it's all said and done. You remember in Revelation? Have you ever found this mysterious passage in Revelation where it says the souls of the ones who were martyred, who were beheaded for the gospel? John said he saw the souls of these martyrs under the altar, and they were crying out to God, how long till you bring justice for what we went through? And he said, the number of the martyrs is not yet complete. Hang in there, guys. That's a paraphrase, of course. But he says, in other words, he speaks of this amount of sufferings that the church still has to go through. That's what Paul's talking about. He's not adding to anything Jesus did on the cross, but there is a suffering that's lacking. It's still for us to go through. And Paul is going through his. That's what he says. He's describing this work of the gospel. Later at the end of Paul's life, 2 Timothy, it's the last letter that Paul wrote before tradition tells us he was beheaded by the Emperor Nero. Paul wrote to his young protege Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 8 through 10. He says these words, as preached in my gospel for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But then he says, but the word of God is not bound. The word of God is not chained. Amen. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. You see that? I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Who are the elect? It is the people of God. It is everybody who will ever believe on Jesus. It's the people of God that He chose and loved before the creation of the world. The ones Jesus redeemed at the cross and the Holy Spirit is now hunting down through preachers of the gospel. Until all of that number comes to faith, there's work to do and it requires suffering on those who minister in the gospel. Could you say these words with Paul? I am ready to endure and to suffer all things for the sake of the church. I love the brothers and sisters so much that I'd go to prison for them. I'd suffer for them. And so the first description of the gospel work is it is a ministry of suffering and hard work. But second, it is a ministry of joy. A ministry of joy. It's not gloomy. Look at what he says in 1:24. I rejoice in my sufferings. And the last word of our text, he said, I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Paul was in prison, but he was rejoicing, guys. He was rejoicing to suffer for the church. Man, we get messed up, you know, just the smallest little thing. That God would give us hearts that were willing to suffer for one another. To suffer for the persecuted church in other parts of the world. To put ourselves out for others. That's what Paul was doing. It is a great joy to suffer for Christ and His people. You know what? You'll never find joy in your sufferings for the church until you meet the treasure. Until you meet the one who is a greater treasure than a life of ease. Right? Christians who suffer are the ones who have realized that Jesus is more satisfying than a life of comfort and pleasure in this world. He is more satisfying than the riches, than the pleasures of sin. He satisfies now and eternally. Psalm 16:11, at your right hand, O God, is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Once you meet the treasure, you will be willing to give up the little treasures of this world and suffer for Jesus' sake. Number three, it's a ministry of the Word. The ministry of the gospel is all about the Word of God being proclaimed. Paul says to make the Word of God fully known. Then he calls it a mystery. And then he says, Him we proclaim. So we're proclaiming Christ and His message, His Word. Warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom. Our ministry is a ministry of the Word of God. We have a message. Have you ever heard this quote? It's attributed to one of the monks, St. Francis, I believe. Go and preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. You ever heard that? That sounds really good, doesn't it? It means live the life. And if you have to, then you can use words. You know, there's a grain of truth in that, but what we see from Scripture is that we can't preach the gospel without words. You can live a good life, but God has chosen a message to be proclaimed with words. That's why we have the Word of God. We have the Scriptures. Jesus Himself, the living Word, who became flesh, who gives us the Word of the gospel. We have not evangelized someone until we have told them the message of Christ and called them to repent and believe. So preach the gospel and use words. Paul said it's going to take warnings. It's going to take teachings for everyone. And so it is a word work. The gospel, the ministry you are called to is a word work. And there are deeds that back it up. But at the center of it is a word of Christ. The next one. Where are we here? Number four. A ministry for the church. Throughout Paul's text here, we see things like this. He says, this is for your sake. Then he says, for the sake of his body, that is the church. Then he says, for you. Later he says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. And then he closes the whole text by saying, I am with you in spirit. Dominating our whole text are Paul's thoughts about the church that he's suffering for. At the center of the work God will call you and I to is the church of Jesus Christ. Those who serve Jesus, listen to me this morning, those who serve Jesus will serve His church. For Jesus is committed to His people. Can I make a couple of bold statements from the text here? No one is following Jesus who is not connected to His body, the church. You can't love the head and hate the body. You can't love the groom and hate his bride. You can't love Jesus and hate his church. If you are not connected to his church, we can't fool ourselves that we're okay with God. I know that grates on us in our culture, and some of us have been hurt in churches. But you know, the church didn't die for you on the cross. It's Jesus. And he calls you to come in and love imperfect people and to forgive them when they hurt you. To forgive me as just a humble preacher here who sometimes sticks, my foot in my mouth. Forgive me when I hurt you. Forgive people in the church. You know, what we normally do is just leave the church and go look for a different one. But you're not going to find the perfect one. God lets us get hurt to teach us how to forgive. Because he's making us like his son Jesus. And Jesus forgave people who were crucifying him. How are you going to be made Christ-like if God never lets you get hurt? Can you think of any other way for God to teach you how to love people who are hurting you than to let you get hurt? Like Christ, as they're nailing him to the cross, he didn't shout out, I'll get you for this! It's the last thing I ever do! Just totally against the character of Christ, right? What did he say? Father, forgive them! They don't know what they're doing! And he calls us to follow in his steps. Serve his church. 1 John says, if we don't love our brother whom we have seen, we haven't loved the Lord that we have not seen. 1 Corinthians 12 calls us to be a part of his body, to get to work with our gifts. God loved us, the church, and gave his son. Jesus loved his bride and gave himself up for her. Paul loved the church and poured out his life to build us up. What are we doing? It's a ministry for the church. Next, number 5, it's a ministry unto maturity. Did you see that in the scripture? Paul said, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? So that, in order that, we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's God's will for you if you're a Christian, to grow up into maturity. And then he says, for this I toil. For this I'm willing to break my back with hard, sweaty work. To see the church built up. That is Paul's vision, his dream. Why? Because it's the Lord's will. It's the Lord's heart. And it is ours if we're a believer. We need to throw off these other things that are consuming our heart, our mind, our vision, our treasure, our time. And connect to what Jesus loves. And he's building up his church. You have a part, guys. You're not the Apostle Paul, but you have a gift. You have the same Holy Spirit in you that Paul had and Jesus had. Amen? You have a part to play. And sometimes it takes a while to figure out what it is, but we get to work and we love and we make Christ and his cause the center of our lives. For this I toil. We should be able to say that. It's a ministry that builds up the church to maturity. We see that Paul was not after decisions in his gospel work. He was after disciples. He wasn't stopping when someone said, yes, I believe in Jesus, and they repent of their sins and they're baptized. That's not where it stops, guys. That's where it starts. Gospel ministry starts after conversion. Because you're not called to just be a believer who says the prayer. You are called to grow up into Christ as a mature disciple who is discipling others. That has got to be the vision here at the church at Meadow Lake. Not to just fill seats, not to just get numbers that we can put up and say, yeah, we had this many decisions. And, 2 years later, where are they? You know, lots of people make decisions and aren't saved. Lots of people repeat a prayer, but hey, they've not repented of sin. They still are dominated by the mastery of sin in their life. Being born again starts this process, but we work together to grow up. And I want to encourage you, new believers in the church, don't get into coast mode, but grow up in Christ. Find a mature member of the church. If you need help finding one, come and talk to me. Meet with this person once or once a week, twice a month, whatever you can work out your schedules to do. Learn how to pray. Learn how to read your Bible in context and study the Word of God and obey it. Learn how to praise God and to walk in His Spirit and share your faith with others. Learn how to serve in the church and involve yourself in what the church is doing. Be a part. Grow up into grace. Grow up into Christ. Paul had a ministry unto maturity. Next, it is a ministry empowered by God. Hold on, just one more after this one and we'll be done. It is a ministry empowered by God. He says, "For this I toil, struggling with all His energy, that He powerfully works within me." It is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do the hard work God calls us to do. You say, you know, I couldn't give my life to suffering. You know what? But you can do what God has called you to do day by day, step by step. Amen? And, you know, it may not be God's will for you to be shipwrecked three times like Paul was. You know, hopefully not. I always say, man, you know, one shipwreck is enough for anybody in a whole life. He had three, right? I can't wrap my brain around that. God may not have the same plan of suffering for you that He did for Paul, but whatever He has for you, He's good. And He's going to enable you to get through whatever He calls you to do. So step out in faith. Finally, lastly, most importantly, it is a ministry focused on Christ. Look at this snapshot from our text. He says, "I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body." He says, "This mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Then he says, "Him we proclaim." Oh, I could preach a whole series on that, those three words. Him we proclaim. We're not, you know, we got to preach Christ. He's at the center. "That we may present everyone mature in Christ with all His energy." God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then he says, "I rejoice to see your firmness of faith in Christ." Guys, your job, your work, your hard work and ministry that God calls you to must be centered around Jesus Christ. It is easy for us to get distracted with other things. To become known by other people for something other than Christ. What is the thing that you always talk about on Facebook, at work, at, you know, family reunions? After a while, you become known as the guy who's always talking about this, right? You're the sports guy or the pop music guy, right? You're the guy that's always bringing this up. And we as a church and we as Christians have got to be the guy that is talking about Christ. It's talking about the Lord. You know, there's other things, good things even, that we can do that must not become the center. Helping the poor. You know, we don't want to just be known as the church who's of social justice, or the church that's tolerant of people and their beliefs, or the church that has good music, or the church that has an impressive building, or the church that does this, or the church that does that. We got to be the church that has an awesome Savior. And anybody that's going to come in these doors are going to hear about Christ at the center of it all. Amen? And when they see you coming, they're going to know, they're going to hear about Jesus, whether that makes them want to run away or fall on their knees and repent. Right? We've got to be the people. And I'm not talking about hounding people and being insensitive. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about having Jesus at the center of all that we do. Amen? It is a Christ-centered ministry. Paul said that his special calling, not your calling, Paul's unique calling was the apostle to the Gentiles. And he was making known that God was accepting into His people Gentiles, not just Israel. And so he says, "How great among the Gentiles is this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now that could be translated Christ among you. And either way, it's true. Christ in you. When you are born again, the Lord comes and fills our life. He is indwelling us by His Holy Spirit. Christ in you. But I think Paul could also be slanting here, looking towards Christ among you Gentiles. That was a surprise to the Jews. The Bible in the Old Testament said that God was going to bring in the Gentiles, but they had no idea He was going to make them equal at the foot of the cross, one body, one new man out of the two. And so Paul had a unique mission to spread this mystery that's being unfolded in his preaching. We don't have that unique ministry, but the church since Paul has preached that same gospel, and that is the gospel you and I are called to take up. A gospel centered on Jesus Christ. So as we leave this morning, what do you do with this? What do you do with these ramblings of this preacher from these scriptures written to a church long ago? First of all, I want to encourage you to believe this gospel. This gospel is the power of God to save whoever believes it. Maybe you've said, yeah, you know, in my mind, I think the facts of the gospel are true. But believing it, having faith in it, pouring your life out in it, repenting of your sins and looking to Christ and what He did at the cross as sufficient for you, that's something else entirely. Let this gospel invade your life and transform you from the inside out. If you're not there yet, read the gospel. Pray and ask God to open your eyes and open your heart and show you what the fuss is all about. If you need to talk to somebody, I would love to sit down with you. Any of our members here would love to sit down and explain the gospel to you and talk with you. Believe this gospel this morning. Secondly, be encouraged by Paul's testimony. He's telling this persecuted church, or this church that's hearing false teachers say Jesus is not enough. He's saying, look at my testimony. See what Christ has done in my life. He has transformed me from a man persecuting the church, trying to destroy it, to a man who's willing to go to prison and suffer for the church. This was Paul. See from Paul's life that Christ is enough. He's our life. He's worth living for, suffering for, dying for. Third, we need to read this text today and thank God for the gospel workers that God has given us in our life. Maybe there was a gospel minister in your life when you were a child who spoke into your life and God used them to encourage you and plant seeds of the gospel in your life. Thank God for them, right? Those all around the world who are pouring out their lives for Jesus and His ministry. Pray for your pastor and your elders. Pray and support and encourage those who are giving themselves to the work of Christ. Hebrews 13, 7 and 17 calls us to obey the ones who speak the Word of God to us. And so we're thankful for those who taught us and discipled us this morning. And then finally, here's the call to us. Join in the work, the hard, sweaty, back-breaking work of the gospel. All believers have a part to play in the work of the gospel. Are you growing up as a disciple, committed to building up the church? Have you gotten to work for the Lord? Not to try to save yourself, but because He already saved you. What's first place in your life? What dominates your calendar, your checkbook, your heart? Ask yourself these questions. May the Lord give us wisdom and lead us to put first what He puts first. Some of you this morning, is God calling you to a more specific part of gospel work and ministry? The church at Meadow Lake wants to train up other elders, deacons, missionaries, whatever the needs are. We want to raise up believers who are serving. If you think God is calling you to a specific ministry, come talk to us. We'll pray with you. We'll walk through you. We want to train those God is calling. We want to see the church members giving themselves to the building up of the church in Christ-centered gospel ministry. Don't waste your life. Pour it out for the Lord. Would you bow in prayer with me? Our God, Your Word has come like lightning, like a hammer. And we want you to do your work in our hearts. Not a guilt trip from a man, but the work of the Holy Spirit to encourage that Christ really is enough. That Christ really does sustain and hold those who pour themselves out in His gospel. Father, encourage us from the testimony of Paul and the words that he has spoken to us about Christ. Lord, we want to surrender to You. Forgive us where we've been selfish and where we have organized our families around other things. Forgive us where we have put other treasures in competition with You. Only You deserve the highest place in the universe and in our homes, in our hearts, and Your church. We've seen in the Scriptures, Jesus, how You're going to be at the center of this restored universe forever. Lord, You are worthy of our hard work. I ask You, Lord, to lift us up and empower us with all Your energy that works in us to send us out into this ministry. I pray for the members of this church and those who are visiting with us today that You will call us to Christ and show us how You want us to serve, oh God. Father, would You raise up men and to be elders and pastors in this church? Deacons. Lord, men and women who will serve You in different ways in this body. Give birth to ministries here. Lord, raise up those that You would send out overseas as missionaries to take this gospel of this glorious Christ to the world, no matter what price we have to pay. Father, for those here who may not even know You, their hearts are still hard. They're not broken and busted over this gospel. We ask You today to come in the power of Your Holy Spirit and let this gospel be the power of God unto salvation in their hearts. Give faith and repentance and build us up to maturity. Raise us up as disciples who are making disciples. Father, we love You. We worship You today. Get glory. Deal with our hearts and speak to our lives and lead us clearly. In Christ we pray. Just take a moment. Answer what the Lord is doing in your heart. Look to Jesus right now. See what He did at the cross. See Him taking your place, bearing your sins and your shame. Respond.